Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Welcome to episode 14 of Women in WP. I'm Amy Masson.
I'm Tracy Apps.
I'm Angela Bowman.
And our guest today is Shireen Hafiz, founder of Deaf Kids Code, a nonprofit designed to promote technology, computer science, and design thinking skills as a way to empower deaf and hard of hearing students. Welcome, Shireen.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We're so happy to have you on. And I will be clear to everybody, Shireen's my friend in real life. So it is not just a virtual friend, but our first question for everybody is, what was your path to WordPress? And I know this is an interesting answer because it's different than a lot of the other guests we've had.
Well, my path to WordPress, so I think it's important to lay on the table that I'm not a technologist. I'm not a software developer. I'm not a website developer of any kind. So my journey has definitely been very organic. So I guess that I always had a familiarity with WordPress technology. Like my daughter had a fashion blog and she created her website through WordPress technology and it was beautiful. And, you know, so I always had it kind of in my periphery and really admired how user-friendly it was. And what I do is, you know, I travel around the country. I work with students who are deaf and hard of hearing, primarily middle schoolers and high schoolers. And I promote design thinking skills, technology, and computer science in a very meaningful like ecosystem. And it's very centered around the spirit of innovation and being a creator. So I was doing programming at the Pennsylvania School for the Deaf, located in Philadelphia, a couple of months ago. The educators, just like all educators around the country working with this population, very passionate, very well-meaning, very sincere, but even though they had incorporated some really interesting STEM curriculum, they felt that the needle was not moving fast enough. Year by year, you know, in terms of meaningful development of an ecosystem, it just wasn't there. And on my last day of doing programming there, the transition coordinator sat with me and she was like, listen, we need to sit down, we need to talk because I don't know when I'm going to see you again. And I really want to talk about like, what more can we be doing for our children? Now, to put it in context, it's important to point out that, like here, I'll just even give you a snapshot for here in Indiana. So I was at a town hall meeting, which was about disabilities and employment. So the current unemployment status here in Indiana hovers around 3%. So it's like off the chain, phenomenal, less than 3% unemployment. For people with disabilities, it hovers on the national average, which is about 70% severe underemployment, unemployment. So even though, you know, the workforce development trajectory, you know, looks amazing nationally or even locally, you know, our population is lacking in inclusion in every way, shape, and form. So as I was talking to the transition coordinator, I was like, okay, well, so tell me what's going on with the kids right now. Like what's the pathway for them now for this current, you know, outgoing seniors? Where's their future headed? And I was told that the majority of them are doing custodial work. You know, they're scrubbing toilets, they're wiping down floors and cabinets, and that's as good as it gets. Now, you have to remember that for the last 2 days, I had been working with, you know, their middle schoolers and high schoolers. And, you know, I saw magic unfold. This set of high schoolers, they were creating these digital design logos, like as if they had done it 20 times before, and they were incredible, absolutely phenomenal. And I literally pulled it out of my hat, Amy. You know, I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Because it's one thing to know the statistics, like I do. I'm fully aware of the disenfranchisement of our kids and this population. But when somebody tells you that, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, the kids that I just worked with, that are badass graphic designers, are going to be scrubbing toilets probably for the rest of their life, and that's as high of a bar as we're setting, it really bothered me tremendously. It really bothered the hell out of me. And I said, and I literally just pulled it out of my hat, and I said, Cindy, who is the transition coordinator there at the school, I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, it's going to require a lot of work and a lot of effort on your side. But what we're going to do is our kids are going to build websites for local area small businesses that can't afford a website developer. Our kids are going to use WordPress software because, again, my point of reference was my daughter that had built a website on her own using this zero barrier to access software. And they're going to present and unveil these websites to these businesses in a very public way. And she goes, oh, well, we can do it here in the school. I said, no, I don't want anything happening in this school that involves the unveiling of these sites. I want it to be public. I want it to be loud because I want the message to be very clear to the greater Philadelphia community that our kids are capable of doing much, 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 much more than they've been given credit for. So I came home and I was desperately searching for resources and how on earth am I going to do this? And Amy, I remembered, of course, was a WordPress master developer. Her whole business is based on this software. So I contacted Amy and I said, we have to schedule a call. I have to have a very important discussion with you and I really need your help. So Amy and I had a heart-to-heart conversation and I said, you know, maybe it was a mistake on my part that I just jumped first and thought about it later. But in my mind and heart, the vision seems so clear. It seems so obvious. And I had already named this pilot program. It was called the DKC, you know, standing for Deaf Kids Code Developers Collective. And Amy, you know, right away, I mean, just the planets were aligned, connected me to Andy, who she's collaborated with in multiple projects, who also is a master programmer and who also has his own personal story about, you know, language development, diagnosis, disabilities. And I don't want to speak on behalf of him, but it's a very harrowing story where he himself says, quote, if it was up to society, I would have been institutionalized, you know, and here he is also a WordPress developer doing incredible things. And he said that he was happy to help launch this and be part of this. And then he pulled in Matt Ryan, whose forte and mastery happens to be like WordPress education. Incredible. I mean, the planets couldn't have been aligned more magically better. I mean, you could not have dreamt up the most incredible human beings and believers to be part of this tribe. Like, I mean, it just is unbelievable. And, you know, and it's just been incredible. And that's been, I mean, none of this could have happened, quite frankly. None of it could have happened without having the WordPress community involved. There's just no way, you know. But what's happened is that through the course of these, so it's important to say that the school has created this, built this in to like a semester long project. So that's dynamite number one. Number two is they had a, a support staff in the school that was learning alongside the students. So that's what's also incredible, because he is learning, which means that he can carry this on, you know, as the semesters progress, as other students come through the conveyor belt, he can also like lead this curriculum because he has the know-how. We identified local grassroots, you know, businesses, and actually Andy played a very pivotal role in that. And I remember the first day of launching this, the students got to interview one of the business owners. And her store currently is on Etsy. And it was incredible. And then they were doing in-person meetings and further interviews, which also, you know, come into play in terms of real-world development skills, right? It's like it's not just about development, but you're also like understanding what that interaction is like. I mean, it's a multi-beneficiary process because number one, Andy and Matt had never been in the deaf community before. So that was a great learning experience for them that they can take back and evangelize to the rest of the WordPress community nationally and talk about what their experience was like. So that if other WordPress folks, you know, want to get in the arena with me and support, you know, a deaf community within their city or you know, wherever they live, they would have first person experience that can vouch for that. Secondly, it's also about, I mean, we talk about diversity and inclusion all the time, but until you're actually in it, and you're actually experiencing like what it's like, the communication barriers and those challenges, you never really truly understand what those nuances are. And the beautiful thing about Matt and Andy is they've become very well acquainted with this student population, this cluster of students, right? So they know that, okay, this is a single parent household. They don't have transportation. They are low on the socioeconomic. They're from a rough neighborhood. I mean, they know what all the strikes these kids have against them. And they are sticking to it because they see the magic. Like one of the processes in the design thinking exercise that they did was they had the kids sketch out on paper and, you know, marker, okay, what does the landing page look like? What is it going to look like? Where are the tabs? Where would the pictures be uploaded? Like, what does this look like? And Matt was telling me the other day that it was incredibly, I mean, they use like incredibly advanced skills that even like adults with a higher level education couldn't have done what they did. It was like, it was incredible. So it's moments like that that further reinforce, you know, believers. You know, it's a deeper incentive of why this matters. And it should bother all of us tremendously that this untapped talent pool is being left out of the opportunity gap. They're just, the opportunity gap exists because of society. Society creates the opportunity gap, right? So then isn't it up to us to eradicate it? And are we just going to sit on these policy panels and just chit-chat all day about it without no skin in the game? And here you have, like, this initiative. I mean, everybody's skin is in the game because everybody believes that these kids are worth it. And it's incredible. And I can't wait till, you know, the end of May when we do this unveiling and, you know, so that's the human story, and it's very non-technical and very you know, I mean, but it's the human side of like why, how I've used WordPress as a catalyst towards being, you know, an equalizer, and how this is about inclusion and participation in society and the world and contributing to the, you know, the untapped talent pool has the ability to contribute, and we should all be, we should all be bothered that they're not.
And not only that, like it, you say you're not in, like, technologists, but these are really big things. Like even big corporations are throwing millions of dollars at trying to trying to get this design thinking in their culture. And you're right, this untapped, this whole demographic of people that could just bring so much value into just into all edges of this, of technology and such. And it is something that is really huge right now. Like just, it's a big thing to do that. And you bring up a really great point, is that the whole like mission of WordPress is to democratize publishing. And so that whole thing, it just, so what you're using WordPress for is exactly the intention. So the, you know, yeah, you might not, you know, build things, or you might not, you say you're not a developer, right? But there's, so if you think about an artist, well, there's someone that makes the paintbrush, but there's the artist that uses the paintbrush to make something with it. So I see you as the artist using that, and kudos to you. This is really, it's really great. I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing.
Well, there's no way I could have done any of this, number one, without Amy, and then number two, without like other people in the tribe, because what the hope is that this will be replicated in other schools and other systems. I actually have a meeting with a community college that has a deaf program in the greater Chicagoland area, because they are super, super keen. See, I'm in a position where I can experiment. I can pivot. I can be flexible. I can try things out. I can give it a go without a lot at stake, because I'm not accountable to anybody. So that puts me in a position where I can be a renegade and I can do what I want, because nobody else is doing things like this. You know, it's like, it's so obviously the flagship, you know, programming are, you know, the hands-on immersive project-based learning workshops that I do, but then layering it on to like, okay, well, what now? Okay, so, you know, I mean, I get emails from kids all the time, you know, that my dream is to develop a website. My dream is to develop an app. It's important to understand that the population that I work with, if you were to look at the data, like if you were to look at like academic outcomes, no way, no dice, nobody would, they would say, this project makes no sense for this population. Keep them in doing manual labor. Keep them in that position, you know? And if I bought into that, you know, there's just no way. And you know, when I started my organization, I took myself off of every board, every institution, everything. And I went rogue with starting Deaf Kids Code, because my philosophy is that we have nothing to lose. We have and actually the first principle of my organization, the first principle of Deaf Kids Code, which means it's the foundation of everything that I breathe and do, is that the digital age is the great equalizer. So when you talk about democratization, that is exactly what I evangelize.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, the web is a visual medium. And so why would being deaf be a barrier when we're working with a visual medium? And then these are people who've learned to be very visually astute.
Yes.
And brilliant. Creative skills and brilliant and probably yes. see things we don't.
Totally.
You know? Yeah. And I've been pleased. I went to WordCamp USA in Philadelphia and we had an after party, and they actually had deaf interpreters at the after party to go around with the deaf people to help them to feel included in the social events. And everything was captioned throughout WordCamp USA. So I hope your kids know that even as kids, sometimes kids come to WordCamps.
And oh,
wow. Yes, yes. I've seen teenagers come to WordCamps. A lot of them, they'll come with their parents, they'll come with friends.
Oh my gosh.
And so just to let them know that they're welcome to come to the WordCamp, and I would reach out to the organizers and let them know. Most of them do have an interpreter, and especially if you let them know, they're going to make it happen because they have the support of the WordPress Foundation to do that.
Wow.
Yeah, totally.
Wouldn't that be an interesting panel to host?
Definitely.
The kids, you know, with like Andy and Ryan and, yeah, I mean, imagine like how fascinating that would be to the WordPress community as a whole. Like, I mean, that would be like incredible.
I agree.
Yeah. Great mm-hmm. suggestion. Great suggestion.
So many times you've referenced the WordPress community, and that's one of the reasons we do this podcast, is because we're really proud of this community that has tried so hard to be inclusive. And one of the reasons when you came to me and said you had this project, and I said, well, who do I know in Philadelphia? Well, the reason I know people in Philadelphia is through the WordPress community. So that's how, you know, you were talking about Andy Stitt, who is, I met at WordCamp US, the very first one, at a Genesis meetup. And that's how I met Ryan as well. And then it was funny because it was right after that, after you had connected with Andy, I was at WordCamp US in Nashville, and I was at a volunteer event with Matt. And I said, hey, I've got this project. And he's like, is that the same thing that Andy contacted me about?
I love it. I love it.
And I know people all over the country, all over the world, because of the WordPress community and how people just want to help. Everybody wants to help and be involved.
Yeah. Well, that is like, I mean, I'm at a loss of words because really, I mean, because if this pilot program is to be replicated in other cities, other schools around the country, or even potentially around the world, this can be a movement. You know, it's like it starts with one thing, right? And then it like, and when people see that, because I mean, this is workforce development, you know, and this is a skill that actually takes a person's dependency from the world, and it gives them a skill that the world needs. It switches, it flips the equation, you know, where you can be self-employed. You don't have to be reliant on any agency or any goodwill. You know, you have truly needed skills that, you know, that can benefit your local community. You know, and I think that is what makes the Deaf Kids Code Developers Collective project so powerful and so potent. Because even if, look, they have real world job experience coming out of this pilot program, right? They would have actually created something for a local area business. Then they would have come away with some knowledge and know-how. Two or three, then they have something actually in their portfolio that is meaningful and substantial. So all of these layers, you know, are full of benefits.
The business benefits too.
The business has benefited mm-hmm. number one. Absolutely. Absolutely right. And yes, I mean, that's the thing. It's like there's no losers. There's nobody left behind. The grassroots local business has a beautiful, dazzling website. Our kids have done something outside of the silos of you know, their school. They've actually had a meaningful contribution to a local area business. I mean, it's like a win-win-win-win-win.
And I want to make a point. I noticed when during the whole overview of what your project is doing is the businesses came in and the students had a chance to meet with them and ask questions. And there's so much you hear about, you know, coding and being a good programmer, but there is so much to building a website for a client that's not about code and knowing how to, you know, do discovery for a website and find out what the website actually needs. And I see that's something that you guys are doing with this project. And it's so important. And I think it's so often overlooked when we're focusing on, you know, programming skills.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. I mean, programming doesn't only mean Java. You know, I mean, it's like there's this entire spectrum in the world of, you know, I mean, basically it's about how you hone technology skills as a vehicle towards self-determination.
And it's also, it's a problem solving. So like you need problem solving through everything and having that, you know, the ability to not only problem solve, but then also communicate the answer, that's a big part of everything. Like that's success in the world.
And your kids are really tuned into accessibility. What is accessibility? And so there's accessibility for websites is a huge thing. And many websites, you know, orgs and govs and EDUs, they are legally required. Any big public website is legally required to have accessibility, which has to do with, you know, it has to do with vision. It has to do with hearing. It has to do with so many layers. But also accessibility is about UI, UX design, because it also just needs to be accessible to humans, you know? And your kids could also be trained to be like site auditors. They could be trained on how to do accessibility testing because they already know from their perspective what limitations are, but that could be a service they provide.
Well, and companies are like losing millions of dollars in lawsuits. There was over 800 lawsuits, I think 2017. And there's like, no, it's not stopping. Like it's so much, but because these big companies, these big corporations, they have the money and they could do that. That would be, see, that's like you could save a company millions of dollars by being that, and when you're that close to something, you definitely don't forget it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, I forgot about the accessibility portion of things. No, like that doesn't happen.
This is, you know, this kills me every time because it's so logical that when you are building or creating anything, accessibility should be at the center. But unfortunately, among engineers and computer scientists and things like that, they build out everything blindly. Then they think about, okay, how do we make this accessible? And I'm like, wow, like you literally have to have a revolution to change the way this whole process even is conceived, that accessibility should be at the core, like it should be synonymous to your ideation.
Yeah. And as being and doing UX design, that is a big focus of mine. And the amount of people that confuse UX, user experience, with UI for user interface.
Right.
Because they think, oh, well, okay, we've got all the development done. And now let's bring in the UX team. And then we get in there and we just blow it up because you're like, what about this? What about that? What about that? We're like, whoa, we didn't think about all those things. Yeah, because this needed to start at day one before you laid one line of code.
Yeah.
This needed to be thought of.
Yeah. Yeah. And then by that time, it's too far gone because you've spent, you know, 300 hours, you know, building this out. So it's a lazy approach because it's like, all right, man, you know what? Time is money. I've already blown 6 weeks building this out. There is no way I am going to start over. So we just have to work with what we have. How do we make this accessible? And that's the mindset, you know, for most people. And it really is like, it's the wrong approach. it's the wrong approach. I mean, and it doesn't benefit, it doesn't maximize its potential benefit that way.
I'd love to ask this question about you. So, you know, Andy and Ryan went to the school and have been working with the students, and I know, you know, neither of them are deaf. So what has been the process of training them to be able to work with the kids?
Well, the nice thing about it is that a couple of things. The first thing is that the classroom is, you know, within the school. So the universal design, you know, classroom accessibility is already there. So they didn't have to worry about, okay, well, how do we rearrange the class or things like that so that it is, you know, of highest visual and, you know, other accessibility areas. The school provides the interpreter. So that is there. And they have been so great at visual tools. In fact, Matt was saying to me, he was saying that, you know, he's like, my gosh, I mean, these kids are just soaking it up. Like, you know, some kids, especially at that age group, I mean, they just kind of check out. These kids are all hands on deck. Like, I think they understand the enormity and the meaning of, like, this opportunity. I know that for the first day, which was the launch, you know, one of the students raised his hand and said, how come school couldn't be like this? You know, like, I wish, he's so excited that he's going to be building a website. He's going to learn how to do it from scratch for a real local area business. And he's just like, I wish that he could always be like this. And, you know, and Matt and Andy will say, I mean, like on their first day, I mean, they said it's extremely humbling. It's extremely humbling for them. You know, it's like you know, because you see the sincere interest on part of the children. Like they want you to be there. They're honored that you're there. They're honored that you like gave your time because you believe in them. Like you're making this effort because you believe in them. And they're so appreciative, you know? And I think that they really have developed, like, you know, they've bonded, you know, with these kids, you know? And it would be interesting, you know, when this is all said and done, like, you know, what they would say about all of this, you know, when it's all, you know, when it's been unveiled and all of that. I mean, I think that's like really special.
Yeah, in a true partnership, both sides are going to be affected and changed for the better. And yeah. It sounds like you're doing that exact thing. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just so lucky that the right people in the right place had the time, were willing to give the time with the right mastery, with the right technological mastery also, because we've had to do so much pivoting because of the, you know, and that's why this is so valuable as a pilot, because the same challenges that we're having in the school, we're going to have everywhere we go. You know, outdated technology, slow processing, you know, 5-year-old laptops, slow Wi-Fi. You know, you have to work closely with IT to make sure that, you know, XYZ isn't blocked by the school server. And, you know, and it's just like constant problem solving, one thing after another. Okay, the kids all have to have their own accounts on this cloud base, you know, blah, blah, blah. Uh-oh, well, we can't do it because they won't be able to, you know, so now the IT people have to, I mean, it's just been like such a learning curve. It's just been like, keep turning left. You know, and then finally, after so many sessions, which, you know, is good antidote for us too, because it means that we need to work even closer with IT so that these problems can be implemented ahead of time so that it's not using the students' time when they should be using that time to build technology out. And but that's why it's a pilot. That's why it's called a pilot. And it's not a program just yet, because these are the antidotes that we need to know, you know, and other institutions need to know going in, because if they want to replicate this, 110%, they will deal with the exact same problems. In fact, some schools don't even have laptops. So then what? You know, do we, what community partner do we work with? Or does this become an after school program? Or, you know, how will we problem solve that? You know, what role can the local chamber of commerce play in this? What role can the, you know, governmental agency of workforce development? I mean, shouldn't they have skin in the game? Like, everybody should have skin in the game. You know, it shouldn't be just the school left to their own devices trying to do what is such a revolutionary, you know, program. Everybody should be vested in this being successful. So there's so much, you know, that has already been learned and that will continue to be learned, you know, as this program keeps evolving. But it's great. I mean, it's incredible. This would be nothing without the WordPress community. No way. No way.
So I have a question for, you know, when they finish the websites and they do the unveiling and everybody's thrilled, the kids have learned how to, you know, build websites, the businesses have websites. Going forward, will the students be able to provide any kind of ongoing support as, you know, for these businesses and, you know, start making some kind of recurring revenue for themselves as providers of maintenance or support services?
That's a very important question. I don't know the answer to that. I think that we've spent so much time just trying to overcome the technological barriers and software barriers that we haven't even like thought that far ahead. And I definitely am open to all discussions, because I agree with you that that would be so tragic if we don't give them some kind of nest, you know, for them to understand, okay, you've done this. Now, this is what you can do with this. This is how you can take it forward on your own as an individual. And this should definitely be the next phase, like for sure. And we should talk about this, you know, because again, like, I don't know, like, how do you set this up? Like, how do you become an individual contractor? What else do you need to know? You know, what other skills must you develop, you know?
Yeah, bring in like how to file for your LLC and, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I mean, some of the most important things I've learned about doing, you know, this career is being able to run a business. It's not about being able to make a website. And I've learned a lot of that from people in the WordPress community that have been doing it. And so I was wondering, you know, do the schools have business classes, or is this something that could be incorporated into the curriculum to give them the skills in addition to being able to make a website, but being able to know what to charge and how to have a contract and all the things that go with running a business?
And I think maybe that should be something that is the next step, you know, that could be part of their, so there's a term that's often used, you know, which is called transition. So when the kids are transitioning out of high school into their next realm of life, you know, this is an important antidote. And actually a lot of the students that are participating in this current program, many of them are not seniors. So this could be something that we do next, you know, where it's a two-part program, where one, they build out the websites and blah, blah, blah. Then the second portion of the program is, okay, so let's get real. You know, I'm a WordPress developer and so-and-so is a WordPress developer. And then maybe you guys actually present to the students and say, this is, you know, this is a toolkit. This is what you do. These are the things you need to do. This is how you establish, you know, this is how you find clients. And I don't know, you know, it's, I think that that's essential, because if this is workforce development, then they need other tools to support them. So I totally agree with that. That's extremely important. We should talk about that.
And I feel like we could probably even bring in more people. So anybody watching that wants to get involved, we'll have information in the show notes. But I really think that, you know, there are a lot of people in the WordPress community that would be interested in getting involved and helping in a variety of ways and not just, you know, showing kids how to code, but in, you know, all stages of this process.
And even just be able to scale it out and repeat it.
Or even just, you know, if they need employees and, you know, hiring some of the, you know, students to work on a part-time basis to get to learn more about what it's like really on the inside of an agency that's doing this. Because, you know, building websites is not going away anytime soon.
Oh my gosh, that would be like, that would be so amazing. Oh, Amy, that would be unbelievable.
Well, I know you've applied to speak at WordCamp US, and it would be really exciting if you do, and that would open a lot of doors for people to learn about this program, and it will be after the reveal of the website, so I think it would be really interesting as a presentation there. So hopefully you get picked to be there. We're almost out of time, but I did want to make a point to say, you know, referencing the whole WordPress community, when this got started, I also contacted Robbie at Beaver Builder, and he generously donated a like unlimited number of licenses for the kids to use in building their websites for, I think, an unlimited amount of time. So we should definitely give them some credit for being involved as well.
That's phenomenal.
And for anybody that would like to find out more, Shireen, you want to tell us where everybody can find you online?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn, and of course, I have a website, which, you know, you can contact me through that, which is www.deafkidscode.org.
And you're on Twitter and Facebook too?
Yeah.
All right. So Deaf Kids Code everywhere.
Everywhere.
Thank you, Shireen, for being with us today. It's been great to talk to you. And hopefully we'll see you at WordCamp US.
You guys are awesome. It was lovely meeting you. And thank you so much for providing this platform and allowing me to share the story.
And thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.